ahead and open your Bibles tonight to Psalm chapter 63, or I should say the 63rd Psalm. And, I just thank the Lord in the hidden mystery that is woven throughout the Word of God. It's just so exciting. And I thank God as, you know, tonight, Lord willing, we'll just sit and chew and feast, I believe, in just a couple little verses here. The immensity of what God has hidden away for us. That now in this time, praise God, that this word, thank you, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and through that wonderful dispensation that was given to the Apostle Paul, these things that were written for us are made plain. And I thank God, as the word tells us, he that wills to know will know of the Lord. So in the 63rd Psalm, let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. There's enough in there to keep us busy till Jesus come, to be honest with you. But once again, I think that they wrote and they spoke those things for us. Even David here, as he's crying out to God in such ecstasy, because this really is ecstasy as we get into this. This wasn't despair. This was overwhelmed ecstasy. But yet, even in David's very heart, this man after God's own heart, the things that he was speaking, I'm confident just as Daniel, there were things that he was speaking that he either would want to look into or didn't even know the depth of what was coming forth that God was bringing out. Writing these things so deep for us, and thank you, Jesus, again, for the Holy Ghost, enlightened eyes of understanding, to perceive the mystery hidden of Christ's love for his bride. I love this tonight because you think of this precious David. This is one that God called to be a king. And I thank God because David's speak is the speak of kings. And I thank God only the Holy Ghost can put that in your heart. You understand that. That wasn't of David. This was of God. Because wasn't he the man after God's very own heart? Praise the Lord. So in that desire, what did God put in his heart? God's desires, God's thoughts, God's plan, and precious God's word. That's what it is. But isn't it beautiful here as he begins? He says, O God, thou art my God. I can hear the joy in him saying that. O God, thou art my God. Have you ever realized that about God? O God, thou art my God. You're mine. You possess me and I possess you. My beloved is mine. I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. So right there, you can hear the awe and the joy. Oh God, thou art my God. See, that's the awe of God that turns into the joy of God. So, we see there's a belonging. And notice here, he says, early will I seek thee. Now, I love this because this isn't just I will seek thee. This is early will I seek thee. Once again, with the word of God, we know these words, they mean depth that's beyond anything we could see on the surface. The word of God says it's of kings to search out a matter. I thank the Lord. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, not ashamed. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? And what it is that when God shows you his love, you want to see it. You want to see more of it. I love how Moses just got so beside himself. He finally said, show me thy glory. I want to see thy glory. Oh God, thou art my God. Are you afraid to ask him? I hope not. Because the word told us you have not because you ask not. So ask and you shall receive. How simple is that? I always remember my daddy telling me, well, son, the worst that they could tell you is no. Well, I love my father, praise God. You ask anything according to my will. You ask anything in the name of my son, and I'll do it. That the Father be glorified in the Son. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. We should be bold to come to the throne of grace. Amen? Amen. Because of the blood. I thank the Lord for the sermon today. I know it's not because of me. I'm thankful it's not because of me. That'd be way too much on me. I'd be totally overwhelmed. He said, cast it all on me. Because I care for you, honey. Praise God. So, it says early here. This word early means first. Not second. It's the most important thing. The very first inkling. Oh God, thou art my God, early. The very first thing. Aren't you thankful for that helmet of salvation he's given you? Aren't you grateful for the mind of Christ? By the grace of God, your first call is to Jesus. Jesus, praise God. And there it is. A lot of times, I don't even have to say anymore. Just Jesus. And I'll tell you, that rushing flood, a cup full and running over, just in the name of Jesus. But he says, early will I seek thee. That means early will I diligently and earnestly look for you. This most important thing. I love if David goes on. He says, because why? Because my soul thirsts for thee. It desires thee is what that means. My flesh longs for thee. Isn't that something there? I love how he even says my flesh. So it's my body, not just my mind, not just my soul, but every feeling of me desires you that much. David was about to faint. But David wasn't about to faint because of his surroundings. David was about to faint, praise God. Because these words that he's speaking, listen to them. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. I believe that those would be the words between lovers. You know, if I called you on the phone and said, hey, I thirst for you and my flesh longs for you, you'd hang up the phone. But if I'd put that in a card to the person I really love right over there, I think that'd stir up something there, wouldn't it, huh? You see? Listen to these words. Listen to the heart of the man that was after God's very own heart. And this, praise the Lord, was amazing and wonderful, this fellowship and relationship. But yet to us, exceeding great and precious promises. I mean, think of that. We enter into that sanctuary that David's about to talk about. Amazing, praise his name. So, it says, I'm in a dry and thirsty land here. Isn't that something? A dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, there's ones that say and speculate that this is possibly David writing this when he was in the wilderness. I believe David could have written the same thing when he was in the kingdom. David's come to a place, praise God, the reason he can say, I'm in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, even if he had all of the comforts of a king on this land, on this earth, it's because he's saying, there is nothing else but you, Lord. Knowing you makes all else a desert. Everything is dead. There is no sustenance but you. You know, I think I've gathered with brethren tonight. You know this. And you don't only know this when you're not feeling good. You don't only know this when things are kind of against you and seems to not working out. When things are going right, even as this world would say, and a lot of things have gone in your favor, and you thank the Lord. But you know what? There's only one that satisfies. There's only one. And there's only one thing that's really going to satisfy my heart, and that's to see Him face to face. I'm thankful that it really is truly the truth and the will of God and the truth that I know by the grace of God that keeps me. That keeps me from coming apart. That keeps me from truly just being beside myself to not be with Him. I long to be with Him, but yet at the same time, I'm content in whatsoever state I'm in by the grace of God. Waiting for Him. As we know more and more about the glory that shall be revealed in us, it's hard to wait, isn't it? It's hard to wait when we begin to really have the Holy Ghost minister in such vivid living. I'm not even going to say color. I mean, it's just vivid and living. You're there. You know what I'm saying. Like the Apostle Paul, he said, you know, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I saw some things. I saw some things that, you know, I can't even utter to you, but I'm telling you what. The one thing I'll bring back to you is I glory in that man. That man of Christ, that fully grown one. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've seen it. Isn't that wonderful? And I want you to understand something, and may we really take this. There isn't anything you can't see of the Lord's that's not in the Word of God. If you'll get into this, you'll see it. You'll see it. Oh, yes, you will. And you'll know it. Because Paul said that same exalted rank of righteousness crown would be there for them also that loved His appearing. The Lord doesn't love in hypocrisy. There's no dissimulation in His love. He said, I would that all men, even all men, be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. How much more so His sons? Amen? Praise the Lord. Those that have children. And I've seen this happen. When a parent favors one child, it's a disaster. Always is a disaster. And that parent is off. And I'll say it bluntly. I don't care how bad your kid is. You may be more pleased because of one in fellowship with you. But I'll tell you what, you love them. You love them. And I mean, you love them with all you got. And you ache and you would give anything. Just as Paul, he loved the brethren. He said, I'd give my own life if you'd just come around. And you think how a natural man can love. And it's not even worthy to be compared with how God loves us. Cares for us. Everything that He has for us. But why did David possess this overwhelming love? Well, it's right there in verse 2. Look at that. The reason he had that ecstasy of verse 1 and all those things that came forth. He says, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He's seen something, hadn't he? See, he had to have a vision to see this. There had to be something that transpired in his life. Praise God for him to have this unction of God and this relationship, this overwhelming love that just came out like a geyser. That he begins this, oh God, thou art my God. I remember when that guy told me, as I wrote all them songs for that cantata that I had to write to get my degree there in college for music. And I wrote that thing out, and Sweet Bob helped me so much in doing that. Wrote those words, and I was just so grateful. I knew they were the words of God all throughout that. That man said, you know, this is some good stuff and everything. But he said, the one thing, I just don't see God so personal as you do. And I just kind of had to bite through my tongue. And he said, you know, I see him more universal in this big thing. I said, no, that God's big and universal. But the one thing I told him is, I said, but you know, in the Bible, it said he spoke that. He's personal enough, he has me in his hands. He didn't want to talk no more, but I'm glad that I knew that. But see there, he says, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Let's start there for a second as we kind of conclude this tonight. The sanctuary is the most set apart place. That's where David saw this. The sanctuary is the inner chamber. The sanctuary, if you really want to go on and really look at the depth of it, it means truly in the depth of it is the bedroom chamber. It's the most holy place. And it doesn't mean that he just saw it once, that as I have seen thee. No. That means that there was a continuation of seeing. It was a gaze that lasted continually. Now think about in the sanctuary, in the most holy place of the Holy of Holies. Whose gaze is spoken of there? It's the cherubim. The Word of God talks about the cherubim and their gaze in the sanctuary, the most holy place. And you know where their gaze is? Right on the mercy seat. Isn't that beautiful? They're looking at that all-powerful blood. All of that power, praise God, in that mercy that would bestow everything to and for them if they would just look into the depth of it. Remember my precious sister said, that depth of blood on that mercy seat is endless. And I loved it. Because you look into it and you'll never exhaust it. You'll look into it and you'll see the height and the depth and the length and the breadth. You'll see all of those things of the heart of God. Praise the Lord. And I think of that as well too. That blood being that blood pumped from the heart. That it's just poured all over. How beautiful that is to our hearts. But praise be to God. That word here where it says to see in verse 2. To see thy power as I have seen. Another meaning of that is to see one another. Now I know the cherubim, they don't gaze at one another. They're gazing at the blood upon the mercy seat. But you know as we look into the blood at the mercy seat, we see one another. Oh yes we do. When you gaze into mercy, do you know you see those that are merciful? And not just merciful in that they're merciful to others. I'm talking about merciful. I love that. Same thing with faithful. I like to put two L's on that because that's the truth. And it's so beautiful to see that. Gazing into that blood, they see one another. They see mercy and they see mercy's glory. And that see, praise God, goes to deeper meanings. It means an appearing. They see an appearing. And what is the appearing that they see on that mercy seat? What is that sight that David sees, first of all, in verse 2? He says, the power and the glory. Well, that word power means majesty and splendor. Vessels of mercy bestowed the riches of his glory. That's what the cherubim see. They see into that glass darkly. What else would you see when you look into the blood? But Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Think of that. Praise God. That's where it all is. That's the mother lode of everything. You see into that, praise God, you look into that deep, all-powerful, mercy-filled blood and the abundance of love power in there, you will see the lives, and praise God, your life, that will jointly reign with him and be glorified together with him, and it's all found in the mercy. Praise the Lord. What did you earn there? Was it the work seat? The I did good deed seat? It's the mercy seat. I'm thankful. I want to be rich and I want you to be rich. And I'll tell you what, don't gaze at anything but the mercy. That blood, it's all there. Once again, from today, from the very beginning, that sweet little Abel, just bring me the lamb, son. Bring me the lamb. It's all I want. It's all I'm going to be satisfied with. And I'll tell you what, you bring that to me, and you got it all. It's everything to God, isn't it, his son? But see, that's it. That's just it. Because that's the glory. Really, oh my, the mercy shows us his glory, doesn't it? See, I'll bestow upon my vessels of mercy the riches of my glory. See, the riches of his glory would never be worn, never be seen, never be bestowed, except for one thing, and by one thing, and that's his vessels of mercy. Think of that. The riches of his glory, folks, come on now. We're talking God. Wake up. I know we had quite a time this morning, but it's okay. But think of that. It's mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You see why in the Word of God, those that really knew, they said, well, I'm going to praise the Lord for his mercy till he come. Amen. Why not get richer? Why not get more glory for him? Amen. How marvelous this is. And I'll tell you what, that will cause love to grow in your life. But see, the mercy shows his glory. And that's the glory that shall be revealed in us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. To understand some of the things that he brought out today. To really look at that. What does the Word of God say? I'm glad that love motivates us to want to be an encouragement to others. But I know that that doesn't change his love. His love, he loves me. And he loves me with everything. The thing that'll change my love for him and grow my love for him is to see how merciful he is. My love will always be limited when I look about my strength and how much I love him. You see that? See, it was even like the sweet Shulamite. What a beautiful statement. And don't get me wrong, I thank God for it, that my beloved is mine. It's a gorgeous thing. My beloved is mine. He's mine. But I'll tell you what, when she hit it all, when she got to the peak of it all, it's I'm his. I am my beloved's. I'm his. And his desire is toward me. That's when she hit it. That's when, whoop, okay, I can't wait no more, honey. It's over now. I've been waiting behind the lattice. Now I got to get you. And that was it. But praise God, this is the glory that we can be by grace. That glory that descends for him. That bride that has the very glory of God. Now, one last thing here before we dismiss tonight about that glory. And I hadn't seen this before, but I thank the Lord. He gets you to look back in it. You know, you don't just glance at it once. You got it. And the Holy Ghost is the one that keeps doing that. Well, I saw it. No, you got to look there again. I need you to go back and look at that again. And I'm sure we'll be back there again. But that word glory, it also means reverence. Reverence. And I thank God for that word reverence. It's a mighty, incredible, honoring word. But it's truly a word when it's of heart, it's a ravished word. Reverence becomes ravished. And I think it's just beautiful. Because that word reverence is exactly what the Word of God tells us that a wife should give and bring to her husband. Amen? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husband. Now, in that precious passage there in Paul's epistles, we know and are thankful God encourages us in natural things. Amen. That's wonderful. But he is speaking of him in the church, and especially that glorious church that's without spot or wrinkle, that precious bride. And there's a reverence that comes out of her. And that's the glory. Do you see that? See, that's a beautiful thing, that glory. That glory is the reverence to her husband. See, when we grow from glory to glory into his own very own image, it's reverence to him. It's the highest honor that a wife could bring to her husband. As the Word of God, it's something that fulfills a desire that only she can fulfill in that husband, by bringing reverence to him. He wants us to bring this glory to him. The glory that comes all by the grace of God. Isn't that something? This is the reverence, praise God, of the bride. The glory all from his grace. And how we reverence him, praise God for his grace. Do you remember the four living ones there in Revelation 4, 9? Go ahead and turn there. We have just a moment of time here tonight. One of the most beautiful things I am so thankful for, many of the things in this fourth chapter, as this shows that wondrous moment, the moment that the bride will be with him. And we see in this precious chapter, we see first that we have in the fourth verse, there are those thrones and ones with crowns round about the throne. And I love that precious study our precious Joel brought out just a while back. And the word there, round about, I loved that. That's the place that those full overcomers in the Old Testament will take. And I thank God that they're there. But I'm also so thankful that here we have this setting. And then there in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, but in the midst we see there in verse 6 that we have the four living ones, those four beasts, that bridal company that'll be there in that fullness of ruling and reigning with him. Now, there's something that comes forth, this praise and this glory and this encouragement that happens, that John, as he's writing these things down, as he receives, is to what the Lord, the bridegroom, the Lamb, is receiving. And in verse 9, it's so magnificent. And when those beasts give glory. See, the beasts give glory. The beasts give reverence. The wife does that. She's the only one that can give that to him. And she gives that to him. And she gives glory and she gives honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And then the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before that throne. Not the four living ones, the 24 elders. And what do they say? Thou art worthy, O Lord. They saw something, didn't they? See, the friends of the bridegroom have been waiting all that time for the bridegroom's voice. And they just heard it. Because that's how chapter 4 just started, was the bridegroom's voice. That thunderous voice, the voice of the archangel, calling her to him. Amen. And what do they say in verse 11? Oh, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. See, they don't say give glory, because they're observing what's going on of the one that's giving him that glory. Thou art worthy to receive. It's just like that couple that'll come up here and get married. That precious wife gives reverence to that husband. Many different ways, but one of the greatest ways is she takes his name. That name. That name that only she knows and is written on her. And then all of the guests and the friends of the bridegroom, they watch and they observe as their precious friend receives the glory, the reverence that he's been waiting for since ages past. Oh God, thou art my God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.